Parliament on this committee.
Welcome to you all. You look fresh and crispy after electioneering over the weekend. Some in the sun, some in the rain. Yes. But welcome to all and all the stakeholders present here, specifically in the Kusatu. We are dealing with public hearings, honourable members, on the Financial Matters Amendment Bill. And we received two submissions. One is from a Mr. Buthelezi, Mali, George Buthelezi from KZN. But he's not physically here, but he sent his presentation and then Kusatu submitted and will present the presentation. Apologies, Mr. Rento is Honorable Zamandi that submitted a written apology. That's how it must be done, in a written format. Honorable members, that's the agenda. I noted Honorable Essart.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable George will be joining us in about 10 minutes.
Is that written?
Yeah, Honorable Moai is also on his way from the airport. That's right, landed at 10 to 10 from Bloemfontein. So they will be joining us. Order. Also welcome to the staff. Thank you to the staff for arranging this meeting. And we're going straight to the submission by Kusatu. Welcome to Treasury. Azai. Yeah, Treasury. Kusatu.
Thanks, Comrade Chair. Yes, my name is Matthew from Kusatu, and I'm joined by my colleague, Comrade Tony. I almost feel sheepish, Comrade Chair, that we're even dragging comrades out of the bed in Bloemfontein. But we thought, look, we should come make a submission on this bill.
Yes.
For two reasons.
Let your voice be heard.
Yes, precisely that, Comrade Chair. One is, I think, to indicate that for once we agree with the Treasury bill. We think this is a very progressive bill, and we would want to see it being passed by the House tomorrow or Thursday, etc. Then the second reason, Chair, we did have a few proposed amendments, but we just simply wanted that to be recorded in the committee's handover report to the 6th Parliament because of time constraints now, and we want to see the bill being passed now. So we're realistic, there's no time for making changes now to it because of the parliamentary session.
Yes, you've got the presentations.
Thank you. So I think, yeah, Comrade Chair, so we support the bill wholeheartedly. It's of importance to our members, to the military and the Government Employees Pension Act. I think we also supported the late insertion in the NA process for the Insolvencies Act proposals as well. And of course, the banking license bill for state-owned banks has always been a very hot issue for Kusatu and for the Alliance, etc., Comrade Chair. So, Chair, our submission is very, very straightforward. In terms of the Military Pensions Act, we supported 100% the proposed amendments. In fact, it's an anomaly that we haven't made that amendment over the last 25 years, where the Act still refers to military personnel being men and having female spouses. So we think this is a welcome proposed amendment to bring it in line with the Constitution's non-discriminatory values, the changes to the Marriages Act, etc. But it's important, Chair, to do this because otherwise there's unintended consequences if we don't, where military personnel's spouses and children are delayed until they're receiving the pension payouts when their partners pass away, etc. So we welcome that, Comrade Chair, and we're keen to see it being passed. Chair, equally with the Government Employees Pension Act, we support the proposed amendments, which seeks to kind of make the divorce settlements for government employees a little bit less acrimonious, to separate the pensions when you separate the assets of the couple. And again, Chair, this might seem straightforward, but it has unintended consequences where divorce settlements take time. So now ex-wife needs to get money quickly so she can get a new house, new furniture for the family. And we think this, Chair, will help to avoid those kind of dragged-out situations. And unfortunately, we have many divorces, etc., etc. So that for us, Chair, is Comrade Chair, straightforward. We support it. Chair, the Insolvency Act proposals came late into the day. But we do support them wholeheartedly, Chair, because it's a de facto requirement. This is about international obligations from the G20, etc., that if you want to retain foreign investment, we want to attract new foreign investment, we have to have this surety guarantees for credit and for investors. So we support that chair, and I think we knew it being brought into Parliament's calendar very late in the day, put the National Assembly under significant pressure, but we were glad that the comrades in the committee in NA was able to make those adjustments very quickly. Because yes, we need to have foreign investment coming in, especially when you have one out of three workers unemployed, the economy is barely out of a recession, etc. So we support that wholeheartedly. Chair, then around the Banks Act, we support the provisions in the bill completely. You know that Kusato has long raised the issue of a need for more state-owned banks in the economy, and we support this on the basis that it helps stimulate competition. If there's more banks in the market, we think it can help put pressure on the commercial banks to lower their charges, the interest rates, make the packages more affordable, especially for those who are neglected by the commercial banks. Whether it's people in rural areas, we often find a lack of a footprint by the commercial banks into the ATMs or branches, or simply support for SMEs, support for the housing, construction industry, etc. So we think giving the space for SOEs to have banks will help open the field. But Chair, look, we're not naive to deny the crisis facing the SOEs. We know most of our SOEs are racked by corruption, poor governance, etc. This poses a direct threat to the fiscus. And of course, Comrade Chair, that if a state bank was to go under, it would be taxpayers and workers who must pay the bill. So we're quite comfortable, Chair, in Treasury's bill in terms of the checks and balances, that the assets for the SOE must exceed the liabilities for the preceding 2 years, and that the two ministers, the finance minister and the oversight minister, must both give the consent. So we're quite pleased with that. Those are critical. And of course, Chair, that an SOE bank will be subject to the same regulations and oversight as any other bank. So, Chair, we are supporting this on this regard. And also, I think we're glad, Chair, that in the NA process, they cleaned up the wording a little bit around, make it very clear that both ministers, finance and the oversight minister, must approve the authorization of a state-owned banking license application. So, Chair, I propose amendments to it. And again, this is for the 6th Parliament, not for the 5th Parliament, because of time constraints, but just for to go into the committee's handover report to the next Parliament, was that we felt that when the SOE applies for a banking license, in addition to the two ministers approving it, we felt that the Cabinet itself should also be required to approve it. We don't think this should be a major train smash. Cabinet approves major decisions, whether it's appointments or it's bills or regulations. But just given the kind of abuses we've seen in Cabinet and the executive over the years, and given the enormity of it, so we're applying for a banking license, we thought it should be a simple requirement for the Cabinet to approve. But again, Chair, that's for the 6th Parliament to consider. Then, Chair, the other two parts was that the bill was silent upon the role for Parliament or the public to have a say in SOE applying for a banking license. Again, Chair, that is a normal practice for any regulation, policy, white paper, bill, for both Parliament and the public to make comments. But again, the fact that it's silent in the bill, we felt, is a potential omission. So our proposal there, Chair, is simply that for the 6th Parliament to look at setting amendments that they should submit to Parliament for noting for consideration as well when SOE applies for a banking license. It can simply be noting for noting purposes, Chair, and for comment. But again, Chair, most bills you find nowadays is a requirement that Parliament, for example, should note and comment on regulations. If Treasury is worried, for example, that Parliament might take too long, may sleep on the job, you can make the time frame quite tight, say 30 days. If Parliament comments, it's fantastic. If it doesn't comment, you can proceed. But again, Chair, we felt the same principle for the public. We asked the public to comment on all sorts of regulations, government notices, appointments of boards, etc. And the public has a vested interest in the SOE. If it goes under, the public must pay the bill. So again, Chair, we thought it would just be useful when an SOE applies for a banking license that we allow for the public to comment. Again, you can make it a reasonable time frame of, say, 30 days. But again, Chair, I think that's just for the 6th Parliament to consider, not for this Parliament. Chair, we noted that the Standing Committee of Finance had removed the Auditing Professions Act amendments because the time constraints is much more in-depth, detailed, and complex. so we're fine with that. And again, we had a few proposed amendments for the Auditing Professions Act when it comes back to the next parliament. But yeah, I think we can just put that for the committee report for noting purposes, Chair. So in summary, Comrade Chair, I think we just want to say that we support the bill wholeheartedly. We would urge the House to adopt it before you rise on Thursday. We support the military and the government employee, the Insolvency Act amendments. And then I think, Chair, our proposed amendments are, as we said, purely for the committee handover report, so that at least it's on the paper record for the sixth parliament. And when the new members of parliament come back, we don't know which members will be coming back. At least it's in the in tray, and that Treasury also has it on the record that when we look at it, we can take those into account, Chair. So, yeah, that finishes in a nutshell, Comrade Chair. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for Kushatu. There it is. To the point, honourable members, Advocate Van Schoor and a colleague can refer to the Financial Sector Regulations Act, which we passed in 2016, if I'm correct. Yeah. And how does this relate to what we have in front of us in terms of oversight, in terms of that act, the Twin Peaks? You referred to the parliamentary program and to work with speed. The parliamentary program referred to the NA and NCOP. The NCOP knows how to work with speed. We can do that. But we are being delayed by legislation, taking a very long time to be processed in the National Assembly and those committees. That's where the delays actually are. So in this case, regarding the banks, the Banks Act, etc., I wrote a note in February 2018 during the briefing by the then Minister of Finance, requesting and asking, where is this bill? When is this coming? And then he passed the note on to the Director General. I said, no, I asked you the question, not the DG. So there was a delay in the National Treasury as well, but let it be. It's just that processes must be enhanced, that things go quicker. Honourable members, questions to Kusatu? The other presentation, the gentleman is not here, but it's a very interesting presentation to look at his views. We acknowledge the presence of Honourable Motla Shipping from Northwest and the Honourable Dr. George from Western Cape. Questions to Kusatu? None? Honourable Monakedi and then Honourable Issa.
No, thanks, Chair. I don't have a question. I just want to welcome the presentation by Kusatu. I think it's quite very clear. And they have actually made proposals that they want us to pass over to the sixth parliament for their consideration. I want to propose that as this committee we should actually support the proposals as put forth by Kusatu. Thank you.
Proposal that we support Kusatu's presentation, Honorable Esap, and then Honorable Motla Shipping, are you fine? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to, the presentation is pretty straightforward and, I mean, clear to the point, except, but I just wanted to check perhaps with Matthew and his colleague at Kusatu, your wholehearted support is very clear, but why would Kusatu then be still very interested in wanting the the SOEs, when they apply, or the intention of SOEs to apply, to want the minister then to still advertise and have time frames and still get perhaps public comment, if, you know, you'd like to entrench it that, you know, in terms of the full support, why would, because how do we insist that then to still hear public comment? I just wanted to understand that. Thank you, Chair.
What about Rita?
Thanks, Chair. Let me first, Chair, appreciate the presentation by COSATU, which in my view is quite straightforward. I raise my hand to support their proposal in terms of the issues that they have raised, in line with the, what the first speaker has said. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There was remarks made. COSATU, and then I'll allow Treasury also to come in.
Thanks, Comrade Chair, to members. I think Honourable Murakati, thanks very much for the support. And whilst you don't know which members will be coming back, Comrade Chair, I think million rand question. Maybe. We will definitely, as COSATU, follow up with this, with the bill post elections, and make sure our issues are incorporated, etc. I think to Honourable Isaac, look, we have a context of state capture, where SOEs have been looted into the ground, not by accident or by fairies, but by the officials, politicians, private business persons entrusted to for their good governance. So we can no longer simply operate based upon trust or friendship or comradeship. So for us, it's about maximum systems, maximum checks and balances, and especially that the SOEs are not some small little thing. These are huge institutions. The crisis at Eskom threatens the collapse of the very state and even the entire economy. When an SOE goes under, it's taxpayers, workers who must bail it out. And you've seen when the SOEs are bleeding, the first ones to suffer is workers who are threatened with retrenchment. Like some of the retrenchments have already started, for example. So that's why we want to see maximum checks and balances. And we've seen that you can't even trust a minister these days. All sorts of funny things, as you know, have happened. That's why we've said let's maximize the checks and balances. And the proposal we've made actually is common practice. Cabinet must approve. Parliament normally does is given a chance for commenting, at least to note. Normally the public is given a space to do it. But we've seen also with practice that if you don't put something in a law, then there's nothing obliging the state to abide by it. So for us, these are not magic wands, but every bit of checks and balances might help to reduce the corruption or the anarchy going down the road. These are not perfect things. You can still loot, even with these things in place, but it might help to reduce looting from 50% to 25%. That can be a little bit facetious, Chair. So I think that's our proposal, basically, Chair. And we've seen in the past where people have had to take governments to court because they've not abided by the letter of the Act. So we must make it watertight as much as possible, Comrade Chair.
Treasury.
Chairperson, thank you. Obviously, thank you very much for COSATU for the support. That's why I took the seat right next to this. just dealing on the response on the proposals for the next parliament to consider, the auditing profession one, that we'll have to bring back in the form of a bill to parliament. And we will consider the proposal they made. There is already a rule now, a 10-year rotation rule that's in place, and they're proposing now a 5-year rotation rule. But we will consider that and then deal with that. And we're not sure exactly how the process is going to be for the auditing profession amendments. We may have to go through another public comment process just as the executive before we bring the bill to Parliament, or we may bring it directly, but that will be for our the same or new ministers to decide and cabinet. Then on the proposed amendments regarding the Banks Act, I think there's two decisions in this process. The first would be for the two ministers to approve that the SOC may apply, and the second one is where it once they've approved, they will go through Prudential Authority to make a decision on whether they should be given a banking license. Now, both of these are administrative decisions, but in our view, it's not decisions that are subject to PAJA, because it doesn't, because there you have to follow the process of public comment, etc. Now, firstly, as to the role of cabinet, our view is you already have two ministers involved, and is it necessary to take it to cabinet? And I understand what they're saying, if it's not in the law, they will not. But there is a practice that if there's very key decisions that the minister takes, even where that minister has the power in terms of law, that they will take it to cabinet just to get the endorsement of cabinet. But legally, the authority lies with those two ministers. And I think this was also discussed in SCOF, and the view was that these things are administrative in nature and should be left to the ministers. And then the second thing about public comment, this, we understand obviously when you make regulations, there is a practice now, and in some cases it is even written into law that you must first publish for comment, and we follow that approach with all our regulations, even where the law doesn't prescribe, because I think it's at least implied from PAJA that you should do that with new regulations. But this is not a subordinate legislation we're making. This is a decision that the minister is making. So I'm not convinced that it's necessary to publish a public comment. And then the last one, as to the role for Parliament, obviously Parliament always have oversight, whatever the ministers, two ministers do, to call them to order. If they don't exercise this function, for instance, if they willy-nilly approve SOEs to apply, and that's not necessary to submit it to Parliament. But obviously we're in the hands of Parliament. When we come back to Parliament, the next Parliament may decide either to initiate amendments, or when we bring legislation amending the Banks Act. Because we're most likely to bring a financial sector laws, a general laws amendment bill quite soon, which this could be provided for. But our current position is that we're not supporting those amendments, but that in the end it's for Parliament to decide.
I want to take you back, Treasury, to the financial sector regulations bill we dealt with that became an act. It's about the role and responsibility, who must do what in terms of oversight. I asked Zolani to go back to our committee report on the bill, I think that was 2016 or 2017 March. What did we say then? And reaffirm that recommendation in terms of what is now in front of us. How's the twin piece doing that, over playing that role of doing oversight? Yes, Parliament in any case must do its oversight and do it better. Must do it better. All the commissions that are sitting now is actually speaking to us as well. How did you do your oversight? But leave it there. If you can't reply now, maybe you can forward something to us just to refresh our minds again, because I believe that is important. Members, are you covered? Honorable Monekedi?
No, I think we are covered. I think what we are saying is, with regard to what COSATU is proposing, we support that those proposals be considered by the 6th Parliament. Ourselves at this stage, as this 5th Parliament, I don't think it will be appropriate to go deeper into the issues as raised. It will be more of an academic exercise. But for meaningful engagement, I think the 6th Parliament should indeed come back and look at these proposals. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Monekedi. There was a seconder for your proposal from the Eastern Cape, Nita, Honourable Isaac.
Yeah, Chairperson, thank you. Just for a record and minute purposes, I'd like to place it on record from the Democratic Alliance side that in terms of the Insolvency Act, we as the Democratic Alliance would definitely support that part of the bill. In terms of the Military Pensions Act, I want to put it on record that we too will support that, as well as on the on the amendments to the government employment pension law. We strongly would support that too. But I want to just place it on record that we principally have a problem with the Banks Act, and I'd like to just put it on record and let it be admitted that on that part of the bill, the Democratic Alliance would like to just record its objection on that part of it. Thank you for the opportunity, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Esra. You're very progressive. We're coming to that point tomorrow, but it's minuted now. I can see you are very eager to work. Yeah. Now, tomorrow we go through it clause by clause, as procedure calls it, and that's what we will do. But it will be minuted. Honourable members, now tomorrow, let me quickly deal with tomorrow's program. The Select Committee Appropriations will meet at 10 o'clock. I want to ask if it's possible, can't we start at 9:30? How do members feel about that? Or I know that's a risk. I
no support it.
Buses run on time, as usual. But if possible, to the staff that we can start at 9:30, appropriations. Nosipu, you are... No, we will check with Estelle and Lubabalu. The venue, I think, is M46, Marks Building. But members will be notified by email and SMS, if it's possible to start at 9:30, otherwise 10 o'clock. So we will first take the appropriations part, complete our work, and then immediately after that, Select Committee Finance meet and do our work, what we have to do in terms of adopting reports, etc., voting on the bills. Then, honorable members, there was a request from the Speaker, by the Speaker of the Gauteng Legislature. They are busy doing a money bills amendment bill, how to deal with money bills, as we are doing in Parliament. And they started a process, and they requested to meet with a committee. It was addressed to the chairperson of the NCP, Honorable Thandi Modise, and passed on to the Chair of Finance. And I indicated to the Speaker that will be the last item on the agenda. Why? Because Advocate Jenkins took us, if you remember, through the amendment bill when we dealt with it, to amend the Act. And it's a long process. You don't do it in 24 hours. As well as the PBO, to come and do presentations. And then it's up to the Gauteng legislator how they're going to process it further. They are coming to Cape Town, seemingly to be present at the last plenary of the NCP on Thursday, that we take that presentation, and then it's over to them and their legal section. Also connecting with Parliament's legal section to assist them. I just want to sensitize you about that. Nosipo, you phoned me yesterday or Friday, Thursday, I can't remember which day, about an event, if we want to call it an event. Do you want to brief us further that we are all on the same page?
It's still subject to approval from the House Chairperson of NCOP. But we are planning to have a lunch tomorrow after Select Committee on Finance adjourns at Townhouse Hotel at 1 o'clock or around 1 o'clock, but immediately after Select Committee on Finance adjourns. But we will know by tomorrow morning because Ms. Denyami was not in the office apparently yesterday.
So, yeah, I hear you. So just note that, honourable members, that we see what is possible, and then you will be notified by email and the SMS. Honourable members, that concludes the business of this meeting. This meeting is closed and adjourned, and thank you to COSATU and thank you to the Treasury for their attendance and the input. Father? Second? Yeah, Treasury is again here tomorrow. Now? No, that I don't know.